Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, first of all, I am asked to give class today on subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. First of all, I have no qualification to speak on Bhagavad Gita, but somehow I am just trying to fulfill the desire of senior devotees. So, please excuse me if I speak anything wrong. It's like when a kid is going to school, when the kid comes back from the school, parents ask, "Tell us what you have learned." So I treat it something like that. I have been coming here for many years and I have been asked, "Okay, you talk what you have learned." So I'll try to speak whatever little bit I have learned. So please excuse my faults, excuse me if I say anything wrong. And in interest of time, I will maybe start directly with invocation prayers rather than our traditional starting with the chanting of Jai Radha Madhava. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Namo Mahavedanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namo Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Vancha Kalpadrubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare So today's theme is Bhagavad Gita, Universal Book of Knowledge. So, before I start, how many of you have Bhagavad Gita? I assume everybody has a copy of Bhagavad Gita. Anybody new here, very first time? Or relatively new to Krishna consciousness? Okay. So, when we talk about Bhagavad Gita, and when we say Bhagavad Gita is a universal book of knowledge, what does it really mean? Now, first of all, everybody want to lead a meaningful life, a purposeful life. If I ask everybody this question, how many of you want to lead a meaningful, purposeful life? Is there anybody who say, "Oh, I want to just waste my life, I don't care"? So everybody want to lead a meaningful and peaceful life. But how do we learn? From where do we learn how to lead a peaceful and meaningful life? So this can be learned only from scriptures. Somehow when we talk to people, it comes out, there's not many people have faith in scriptures. Right? Do we come across people? There's no faith in scriptures. But if we generally see, we put faith in everything. We put faith in everything in the life. You get up in the morning, since morning to the time you go to the bed. All the activity we put faith in everything. Since you get up in the morning, you go to your restroom, open your toothpaste, you put it on the brush. Do you get a doubt? What if somebody has put a poison in the toothpaste? The toothpaste company has some poison in that? We have a complete faith in that. Then you take your shower, open your fridge, get a milk gallon out, you pour that and you drink it. Do you get doubt in that? Oh, if somebody put a poison in that, what if the guys who packed this milk bottle, if they added something in that? So we show faith in everything. Then you take a plane or a train or a car wherever you are traveling to your work. So if you are boarding a plane, how many times you go to the cabin of the pilot to see if there is a real person sitting there, a monkey driving the plane? So we show faith there, right? We show faith in everything. But when it comes to, when we talk about scripture, then immediately the doubt comes. The demon of doubt immediately pop up in the head. Oh, what is the scripture? Is this real? Can I trust the scriptures? I don't know who has written these scriptures. Maybe some old people sitting in the caves, they compiled something. Are they really meaningful today? Maybe they applied that time, 5,000 years back, but do they really apply now? So all these doubts come in the mind. So understanding Bhagavad Gita, the message of Bhagavad Gita is universal. We have to put a faith in the authority, and that authority is scripture. Now, the message of Bhagavad Gita, if we want to lead a meaningful life, as I said, we have to open the pages, have to read Bhagavad Gita. And how this message is universal? So everybody in the universe, not just in one country, India or China or Russia, throughout the universe, throughout the whole world, everybody need to know their identity. Isn't it? If the most of people here maybe came from India, when you first time entered into the, when you came down your plane and entered into the immigration, what do they ask first thing? What is your identity, right? What is your identification? Show me the passport, show me your visa. So everybody needs an identity. You go to Russia, some other communist countries, you have to carry your passport all the time to show, to prove your identity. Now, if you don't have your identification, they can maybe put you in the jail. Now, everybody need to know the identification. And the first knowledge what Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita is our real identity, who we are. When Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Shishyasteham Shadi Mam Prapanna, now I am a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. What did Krishna teach to Arjuna as the first and foremost thing? He did not speak about Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or some other higher principle. He started with what is the real identity, because that's the most important to start any activity. If somebody pushes you in office, go work there, what will you ask? First tell me, who am I in this company? Am I the peon, I'm the engineer, I'm the manager, I'm the CEO of this company? Because until you know who you are, how can you work in that office? So same way, when we come to this world, we first need to know who we are, so we can lead a meaningful, purposeful life. Until we know what is my real identity, who am I, what is my purpose here, how can we act? And this knowledge applies universally to the whole world. It's not that, okay, Bhagavad Gita is only a book for the Hindus or for the Indians. It's not a sectarian book. The knowledge of Bhagavad Gita apply to each and everyone in the whole world. So another proof of universal principle of this knowledge, are the calamities in this world increasing or decreasing? Let's just talk about the natural calamities. As the natural calamities increasing or decreasing day by day? Sometimes there is no rain, sometimes there is a heavy rain, tsunami, sometimes there's earthquake, sometimes some other calamity, too much heat or too much cold. So this, all these natural calamity are increasing day by day. Is this only particular part of the world or throughout the world? So it's happening throughout the world. And everybody want to get peace from these natural calamities. So from where do we get the knowledge? How to acquire peace? Or how to get the basic necessities of life? By pacifying these natural calamities. So Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning I created everything. I created all the human beings, all the species, and I created all the Devi Devatas. And with mutual understanding, mutual satisfaction, the humans are supposed to do their activities, do their job, and by satisfying with the yajna, the in charges of various necessities of life, they will provide all the necessities. In that way, with mutual and mutual satisfaction, the prosperity will reign. So that is the principle, how to get freedom from the natural calamities, how to get peace. And again, this is universal. And what is the best yajna? So Krishna says, we are supposed to perform yajna, and with the performance of yajna, the demigods, the in charges of various necessities of life, they will be satisfied. So what is that yajna? So there are various yajnas defined. And Krishna himself tell in Bhagavad Gita, what is the best yajna to be performed in this particular time? So Krishna says, among all the yajnas, I am the japa yajna. So the chanting of the holy name, that is the most preferred method of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Now another universal principle, if we talk about, there is so much corruption increasing in the whole world. Is the corruption only in India, or is the corruption in all part of the world? So corruption, black market, all these things are present throughout the world. Why people engage in these activities? Because they don't know the principle, whatever activities we do, if we do some wrong activity, some sinful activity, we have to get the result of that. We have to suffer the sinful reaction. People don't understand there is a life after death. This whole life is not just all in all. So there is a life after death, and we have to suffer our reaction. So if everybody understands that knowledge, which is presented in the Bhagavad Gita, then people can lead a more purposeful life and avoid those activities. So all this knowledge is presented in Bhagavad Gita, but unfortunately, we don't accept that knowledge. We don't put faith in that knowledge. So like that, there are so many other principles explained in the Vedic scriptures. And Bhagavad Gita is considered as the essence of all the Vedic scriptures, even all the scriptures. So in Gita Mahatmya, it is said, Sarvopanishado gavo dogdha gopala nandana Partha vatsa sudhir bhokta Dugdham Gita amritam mahat. So this is the glorification of Bhagavad Gita. How is Bhagavad Gita compared? Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the scriptures. Sarva Upanishado gavo, all the Upanishads, all the Vedic scriptures, literature, Upanishad, Purana, Vedas, it's like a cow. And what is the essence of the cow? The essence of the cow is milk. Now as a milkman milks the cow and get the essence of the cow in the form of milk. So same way all this Vedic literature is compared to the cow. And Krishna himself has acted as a cowherd man, as a milkman, who is churning all this Vedic literature and getting the essence. Now when a milkman milks the cow, how do they milk? They first bring a calf. Let the calf drink the milk. Once the calf has taken, then the cow gives out all the milk. And that milk can be given to everybody. So Krishna is using Arjuna as a calf. Partha vatsa. So Arjuna is used as a calf. And this knowledge, the essence is churned and given to Arjuna. And after that, it's readily available for everybody else to use. Right? Sometimes people say, oh, this knowledge was given to Arjuna that time. Maybe it was relevant for him. But how do I know it's relevant for me today? So this knowledge is not just for Arjuna. It's for everybody. And who will enjoy this knowledge? Sudhir Bhokta. The intelligent class of people, they will accept this knowledge. They will relish this knowledge. Now, when the cow gives the milk, milk has all the vitamins and all the nutrients, and if that milk is taken, we can cure our health, we can gain the possible health. But there is some criteria to digest that milk. The digestive system need to function properly. If you feed that cow milk, just 1 liter milk to a 3-month-old boy, 3-month-old baby, what will happen? That baby may not digest, or his whole system will break down. But if the same milk is given to a person, a bodybuilder, wrestler, who is working out in the gym, he will have no problem drinking a 2-liter milk. So there is a certain criteria, certain qualification required to digest that milk, that our digestive system need to function properly. So same way, to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita, there is certain qualification, something required to understand this message of Bhagavad Gita. What is that qualification? Is that the knowledge of Sanskrit, or I need to be a Sanskrit scholar to understand this message of Bhagavad Gita? Once there was a young man traveling in the train. So as traveling in the train, the ticket collector came. So ticket collector asked, "Show me the ticket." He said, the young man said, "Oh, you know, you don't know me. You know what? I am the graduate from the Harvard University." So ticket collector said, "Okay, that's very nice, but where is your ticket?" "Oh, no, no, you don't understand. I was the topper from that university." "Very good, but where is your ticket?" "No, no, no, you don't understand. I was the first one to get placement out of the campus." "Sir, that's very nice, but where is your ticket?" "No, no, you still don't understand. I was the highest paid person in the placement." "Sir, I understand all that. It's very nice, but you should know, when you're traveling in the train, the criteria to travel in the train is you need to have the ticket. So as we travel in the train, we need to have a ticket. All these qualifications, a PhD degree or a business degree from the best university, that doesn't matter. Same way, to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita, to relish the principles, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, the qualification is not the language, not that I have to be the scholar of the Sanskrit language, I have to be a big scholar or a PhD. It's the devotion in the heart which makes us eligible to understand this message of Bhagavad Gita. There are so many people who write the commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, and on the teachings of Lord Krishna, sometimes people make business out of it. Because they claim generally, "Oh, I'm speaking on Bhagavad Gita." But most often, they don't even have faith in Krishna. They don't have the faith in the words of Krishna. On the garb of speaking on the name of Bhagavad Gita, they are telling their own opinion. They are telling their own understanding. Right? It's like if somebody is giving a big class in the pandal, there are a lot of people sitting from different parts with the different languages. And if the person is speaking in English, and there are a lot of people who doesn't understand English, some Russian devotee is sitting. Now a person may be asked to translate that. Okay, translate from English to Russian so that other people can understand. Now if the translator, while translating that lecture, whatever that speaker is speaking, rather than just translating, plainly translating, if he start giving his own interpretation, he start talking his own philosophy, his own understanding, that's not the right way. Yes, everybody has the right to give their opinion, right? It's a free speech country, anybody can speak, but one should not claim, "I am speaking on the message of Bhagavad Gita." You can call your own program, do your own class, but don't claim, "I'm speaking on Bhagavad Gita." One should say, "Okay, yes, it's my opinion, that's what I'm teaching." But generally, most of the time, people say, "Oh, I'm speaking on Bhagavad Gita." And they speak all nonsense. Once Prabhupada write in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, once a lady approached Srila Prabhupada, asking, "What is the recommended commentary in English on Bhagavad Gita?" So Prabhupada, "There is none." Because no English commentary that time was the direct representation of the message of Lord Krishna. All the commentator has done their own philosophy, their own opinion, their own understanding. So Prabhupada said that's the reason now we are presenting this commentary in English as Bhagavad Gita as it is. So people can take benefit. So Bhagavad Gita, if we want to really understand the message of Bhagavad Gita, it has to be understood in the same spirit as what Lord Krishna is speaking, not in our own concoction. And Lord Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, What is the criteria? What is the qualification to understand this knowledge? At many instances, while speaking, while delivering this message, Krishna deliberately points out the criteria to understand this knowledge. The first criteria is surrender, right? Krishna did not start speaking Bhagavad Gita until Arjuna surrendered. Throughout the first chapter, Arjuna was giving his reasons, why I don't want to fight. And he was giving, quoting the scriptures. Oh, this is scripture said, one should not fight with his relatives. And how can I fight with them? So he was giving all the reasons. So Krishna was quietly listening. But he did not say anything until Arjuna surrendered. Until Arjuna accepted Krishna, not just as a friend, but as a teacher. Shishyasteham. Now I am a soul surrendered unto you. I am your disciple. Please instruct me. Then Krishna started speaking. So the first criteria is one should have a surrendered mood. Another qualification to understand the message of Gita, Krishna tells in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 4.3. Bhakto asime sakha cheti. You are my dear devotee and also a dear friend. That's why I am giving this knowledge to you. So that's another criteria to understand. Yes, this book is openly available to anybody. Anybody can read. But to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita, one should have the mood of devotion. Accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord and have full faith in the words of Krishna. Then we can really grasp the message, understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. So the criteria is need to have a devotional attitude. Another qualification Krishna points out, 9.1, the whole chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita titled as the most confidential knowledge. Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshyami anusuyave. That's how it starts. So here Krishna points out, I am giving the most confidential knowledge to you. What was Arjuna's qualification to understand, to get that most confidential knowledge? It's not that because he is dear friend of Krishna, that's why Krishna is giving. He is pointing out what are the qualifications to understand this message. Anusuyave. Non-envy. Because you are not envious of me. There is no envy in your heart. That's why you are eligible candidate to understand this passage of Bhagavad Gita, to get the most confidential knowledge. So that is the qualification to understand the message. And again, 4th chapter, Krishna says, evam parampara praptam. This knowledge has to be understood in a disciplic succession. It's not that somebody just gets up and say, okay, I know Bhagavad Gita, I know everything. I just understood the message by myself. The knowledge has to be received in a parampara system, in a guru-shishya parampara, a spiritual master and a disciple relationship. This is how the message has to be delivered. There is another very beautiful story in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes the mood of a person, the eligibility of a person to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. So, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he mentions one very beautiful passage in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna himself, who appeared 500 years back to preach the Yuga Dharma. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present on this planet, when he was on the tour to South India, while on that tour, he came to Sri Rangam. So in Sri Rangam, there was a Vaishnava Brahmana who every day used to come to the temple and he will read Bhagavad Gita. Kare Gita Avartan. So he will read Bhagavad Gita every day. Not one verse, two verse, one chapter. Ashtadasha Adhyaya. All the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita he will read. So sometimes we read one verse of Bhagavad Gita, two verses of Bhagavad Gita, then we get tired. Oh, it's too much philosophy. So he used to read the whole Bhagavad Gita, all 18 chapters. And there were other Brahmanas. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami here mentioning specifically, if we read the word carefully, it says Vaishnava Brahmana. He doesn't say simply Brahmana. He was a Vaishnava, a devotee. There were a lot of other Brahmanas who will look at this Brahmana, this Vaishnava Brahmana who is reading Bhagavad Gita, and laugh at him, make fun of him, criticize him. kare upahas. So these all other smart brahmana, they will look at this brahmana and make fun of him, criticizing. What was the reason? Because he was not able to recite the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita properly. He did not know Sanskrit properly, so he was not able to recite properly. So all these brahmanas were making fun of him, criticizing him. So even if we look in the history of the whole Vaishnava culture, we see no Vaishnava has been spared of criticism. The Vaishnava has to meet criticism, have to go through the ridicule. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the spiritual master of our dear Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching, when he will give initiation to the devotees, all the other brahmanas were criticizing him. Because he was giving initiation, they were claiming, oh, you are giving initiation to the people who are not born as brahmanas. You are giving them as a brahmana initiation. So they will ridicule him, criticize him. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, when he came to the western countries, western world, to preach, to give out this Krishna consciousness, he was criticized. People here criticized him, oh, you have come here to convert people to your religion. And they were criticizing the people who were joining this movement. There was a lot of people in the early days of the movement. A lot of people came from the hippie background, hippie culture. And they were ridiculed. They say, oh, these people are double dropouts. They first drop out from their college education. Now they have dropped out of their culture. Now if they are joining this movement, what will they gain? What will they learn? So all the devotees, Prabhupada, they met a lot of criticism. Prabhupada's godbrother sometimes criticized. Oh, and a lot of other people who had already come to the Western world to preach this message of Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavad. They say, oh, you should give up your sannyasi robes and you should accept like us, coat pant. Then maybe you will be able to preach. So throughout the Vaishnava history, criticism is part of Vaishnava life. So when we go for book distribution, right, a lot of devotees go for book distribution. They may be, maybe the testimony that there is a criticism there. People make fun sometimes, people criticize. And the problem becomes sometime when the criticism enter into the Vaishnava community itself. When devotee among each other start criticizing others, right? Criticizing other devotees. But we should think that, okay, there is already so much problem there, already so much criticism. Devotee has to face so many other things. Let's not add to the problem. Let's keep the environment peaceful among ourselves. We are already facing so many challenges. So criticism is part of the culture, part of the Vaishnava life. So this brahmana was facing criticism. But he did not get affected because of this criticism. What did he do? He did not react, because his understanding or his thought was, okay, these people are criticizing, making fun because of ignorance. There are generally two reasons of criticism. Either it's ignorance or envy. Out of ignorance people criticize, or out of envy. So he said, okay, these people are ignorant, but I am not ignorant. Let me not pay attention to what these people are laughing at or whatever they are doing. He completely absorbed himself in reading Bhagavad Gita. Avishta hoye. So the word uses avishta hoye. With complete absorption, he read Bhagavad Gita. And when he was reading Bhagavad Gita, he started developing all the symptoms of ecstasy. The tears coming out of the eyes, the voice getting choked, the hairs standing on the end, the body trembling. So he started developing all the symptoms of ecstasy. Now just imagine, he's reading Bhagavad Gita and all the symptoms of ecstasy are developing. But when we read Bhagavad Gita, after reading 2, 3, 4 verses, what to speak of ecstasy, our head get ecstasy. Head starts spinning. So he was developing the symptoms of ecstasy just reading Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes we think, oh, I have to read maybe some deep pastimes of Radha Krishna to get that mood, that bhava, ecstasy. Here, this brahmana is getting the symptoms of ecstasy just reading the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Once some devotees approached Srila Prabhupada, "Swamiji, you should speak on the Rasalila of Krishna, those pastimes of Krishna." Prabhupada said, "No, there's no need to speak on those deep pastimes. Forget about the Rasalila, you first pay attention to the Kurukshetra Leela. If you understand this Kurukshetra Leela, this is nothing different from Krishna's deep pastime." So just understanding the philosophy can get us into that mood, that bhava, to develop love of Godhead. So this Brahmana was exhibiting all these symptoms of ecstasy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to that place. Looking at that Brahmana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got very happy. Anandit hoya Mahaprabhurman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got very happy looking at this Brahmana developing the symptoms of ecstasy. Mahaprabhu asked him, "Kona artha jani? What meaning have you understood that you are getting so much happiness? What meaning have you understood by reading this Bhagavad Gita?" Now the meaning, the answer which this Brahmana gave, that is the essence how to understand Bhagavad Gita. So if we understand the meaning, the answer which this Brahmana gave, that's what we need to develop the mood. So the Brahmana replied, "Murka ami, shabda artha nahi jani, shuddha ashuddha Gita padi, guru agya mani." I'm a moor, I'm a fool. Murkami, I'm a fool number one. I don't know the language. Shabda artha nahi jani, I don't know the meaning of the shlokas, meaning of the words. Shuddha ashuddha Gita padi, even I don't know how to recite. I don't know the proper meter. But I have just accepted the order of my Guru Maharaj, my spiritual master. Guru agya mani. So he had the mood of humility, accepting the order of the spiritual master, which was making him eligible to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita and develop the symptoms of ecstasy. So he said, "I don't see any words in the pages of Bhagavad Gita. I only see the Shyama Sundara holding the reins of the horses, the Partha Sarathi. I don't see any other words in Bhagavad Gita. Only thing I am seeing is just this picture of Krishna holding the reins of the horses, driving the chariot of Arjuna." So Mahaprabhu, hearing his answer, he got very pleased. He said, "You have understood the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita." Now imagine, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna. And Krishna spoke the message of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So he is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. And he himself is giving this compliment that you have understood the essence, the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. Gita artha sar. You have understood the message of Bhagavad Gita. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced that Brahmana. Now again imagine, Krishna coming here personally and embracing you and complimenting you. Yes, you have understood the full Bhagavad Gita, the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the next reward Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him was, he kept that Brahmana with him for the next 4 months of Chaturmasya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed there for 4 months in Srirangam. He kept that Brahmana with him for the 4 months. He got the personal association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the complete 4 months. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the actual education, the knowledge. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu karena shikshan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the knowledge. So this is the direct testimony of what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, text 10.10, "Tesham sakta yukta naam bhajatam priti purvakam dadhami buddhi yogam tam yena maam upayantite." Who is eligible to get this knowledge, the essence, the real understanding? Tesham sakta yukta naam, satata yukta naam, who are always connected with me. Bhajatam priti purvakam, and who worship me with love. So two things very important here. Satata Yuktanam, always connected with me, not like once in a while. Okay, I will come to the temple only on Janmashtami. And all throughout the year, I don't care. Oh, I will go on special occasions. And then, Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. Worship me with love, not with force. Sometimes we come to the temple, or they are forcing me, come at 4:15. Nitya Krishna Prabhu is forcing. I have to come at 4:15. So not by force, with love. When we are serving the Supreme Lord, not out of force, but with love, continuously, then Krishna says, I give the knowledge, I give the understanding. Dadhami buddhi yogam tam. Then I give the understanding. Yena upayanti te, by which they can come to me. So that is the essence. We have to make ourselves eligible to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. And the criteria is the mood of submission, understanding, accepting the orders of spiritual master. As this Brahmana manifested those symptoms. Sometimes, a lot of time it happens, we read Bhagavad Gita. It happens sometimes people are reading Bhagavad Gita and sometimes they come and, oh, I read this Bhagavad Gita, but I don't understand anything, I don't remember anything. I forget everything. There was once a small boy. He approached his grandfather. Oh, you gave me this book, Bhagavad Gita, to read. I'm reading this book, but I'm not able to remember anything. Is there anything, something I'm doing wrong? So his grandfather, to try to make him understand, he gave him a basket. See, in old time, they used to have a kind of a pot basket to carry coal, koila. So he gave him a basket, and that basket generally has all the holes, right? So he gave him the basket and told him, you go to this nearby pond and fetch some water and bring it back in that basket. So this boy ran to the pond, filled it with water and started running to the home. Now the water is all flowing out from all those holes. By the time this boy reached home, all the water is gone. So his grandfather said, okay, go again, try one more time, bring it again. So he again went, filled it with water and again ran, even faster. Let me reach before the water drains out. But again, by the time he reached home, all the water was gone. So his grandfather told him, okay, try one more time, go again, bring the water. He again went, filled the water, ran faster, came home, but all the water is drained. Now this boy is really frustrated. What's happening? Do you want water? Then give me some other pot which will hold the water. Why are you giving me this basket with all the holes and everything? By the time I reach back home, all the water is already drained out. So the grandfather told him, do you remember how this basket looked like from inside the first time when I gave you? If you remember, this basket from inside was very dirty, blackish, because of carrying the coal in that. Now look at the basket. How does it look like? Oh, no, nice. This basket looks very clean now. All that blackish dirt is gone. So the grandfather told, see, same thing is with Bhagavad Gita. You may not remember everything what you read in Bhagavad Gita, but as you keep reading this message of Bhagavad Gita again and again and again, your heart is becoming cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. Our heart right now is so much dusty, so much of dust accumulated on the heart. As we read Bhagavad Gita, yes, we may not be able to understand first time, may not be able to memorize any verse, but as we keep doing, slowly, 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 this purification is happening. And the time will come, then we will be able to remember the words of Krishna and apply that. And I can say, practical testimony sitting in front of you. There was a time when we could not remember even one shloka, one word of Bhagavad Gita. Now we can quote so many shlokas, so many verses of Bhagavad Gita, give a talk like this in front of you guys. So that's a life testimony. What can happen by reading the message of Bhagavad Gita? The purification of heart happened. Even though the small purification can yield big result. Now, the reading this Bhagavad Gita, keeping this Bhagavad Gita is very important. Now, this whole month of December, we do as a marathon month, when we distribute the Bhagavad Gita to whomever we meet, wherever possible. What is the importance? What is so important about that? So it's said in the scriptures, what is the real benefit of Bhagavad Gita? Gitaya pustakam yatra, yatra pati parvartate. Tatra sarvani tirthani prayagadini tatravai. Gitaya pustakam yatra, wherever there is a book Bhagavad Gita, tatra pati parvartate, wherever the Bhagavad Gita is read, tatra sarvani tirthani, all the holy places appear there, all the holy places manifest there. What kind of holy places? Prayagadini tatravai. Holy place, Prayag is considered as one of the greatest holy places. So wherever Bhagavad Gita is, wherever Bhagavad Gita is read, all the holy places manifest there. So if we keep Bhagavad Gita at our home, if we read that regularly, our home itself become like a holy place. And when you share this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita with others, when you give this Bhagavad Gita to others, they get the same benefit, same opportunity to make their lives more successful. Now, the distributing Bhagavad Gita is not a job of only the sannyasis or the brahmacharis, but even though mainly they are actively engaged in those activities, but it's a responsibility of everybody. Everybody should take part to their capacity, to their whatever limitation, whatever capacity they may have. One should engage in the book distribution activity. But how can we do the book distribution unless you carry some books with you? So to carry, so this whole time is coming when people give gifts to each other. Thanksgiving or Christmas, people give gifts. But if you don't carry, if you don't have Bhagavad Gita with you, how can you give it to somebody when there is any opportunity? It's not that, okay, I will run to the temple, okay, you stay there, let me go to the temple, bring a Bhagavad Gita. So we need to carry, we need to always have few copies of Bhagavad Gita with us, so that whenever there is opportunity, we can give it to somebody to benefit them. It could be a birthday celebration, somebody's anniversary, some occasion which you can use an excuse to give them a Bhagavad Gita. I know many devotees, they go to stores, stand there for hours to distribute Bhagavad Gita. In my own neighborhood, I know very sincere Matajis, Rukmini Priya Mataji, Madhvilata Mataji, I know even Nitya Krishna Prabhu, they were going to the Indian store, standing there for a couple of hours, just whoever is coming to the store, coming in, coming out, they will just talk to them and pass out the Bhagavad Gita. So distributing Bhagavad Gita is very important, very essential for everybody, because that brings the humility. Now, I'm not saying I'm a big book distributor. I do distribute a lot of books. I'm speaking to myself actually. I need to participate in this activity of book distribution more enthusiastically. All I do is carry some books. Lot of time we get a whole box of Bhagavad Gita, so that whenever there is opportunity, we can pass it to them, either any office colleague or your neighbor or any friend, any occasion. So we can do in our own capacity. And now there's another event coming up. Now Gita Jayanti is coming on December 10th, which is Saturday, and we are celebrating Gita Jayanti on December 11th. And same day we have another very important event, which is a Bhagavad Gita Shloka recitation competition. Of course, it's for the kids, but if any adult want to participate, they are more than welcome. So, as I said, as we discussed in the whole this narration, learning Bhagavad Gita, understanding Bhagavad Gita, knowing the shlokas is very important. Another life testimony from my own life I can share with you. When I was in the 8th grade, when I was in school 8th grade, there was a Bhagavad Gita shloka competition. That time I had no clue of what is Bhagavad Gita, how to memorize, how to recite the shloka of Bhagavad Gita. somehow the school teacher, they gave my name that, oh, he will participate from our this class, he will participate in this competition. And I was given a copy of Bhagavad Gita, even though I don't know what copy was that. I'm sure that was not Bhagavad Gita as it is. But somehow I participated in that shloka competition, shloka recitation. And maybe that was a seed which got planted in my life, which ultimately brought me in the association of devotees. So learning the shloka, memorizing the shloka, that's why we encourage the kids so much that, oh, you should participate in this activity. Try to memorize the shloka, even though you may not understand the meaning right now. But just memorize, participate in these things. Because that gives the foundation sometimes. We may drift away from this path because of some influences of many other things. But ultimately Krishna will bring us back if we have a tiny connection. So I encourage everybody, if you have not resisted your kids or if you know any kids, please encourage them to participate in this very important event. There is a live, another testimony from Srimad Bhagavatam which describes the importance of knowing Bhagavad Gita and trying to understand or memorize, remember the shlokas. So Lord Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, right, at the battlefield. Now once everything was settled, all thing was done, when Maharaj Yudhishthira became the king, after that Krishna has left, he was gone back to Dwarika. And sometime later, all the symptoms of Kali Yuga started manifesting. And looking at the symptoms of Kali Yuga, Arjuna also thought, oh, this Kali Yuga has all the symptoms, looks like Kali Yuga is starting. Maybe Lord Krishna has already departed from this planet. That's why this Kali Yuga is coming up. And just thinking that Lord Krishna has departed, he got so much anxiety. He got filled with so much anxiety in his heart. Just thinking about the separation from Lord Krishna. And then slowly he started remembering his association with Krishna, the moments when he was associating with Krishna. And then he started remembering when Lord Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Then he started remembering the message of Bhagavad Gita, the instructions which Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita. And while then remembering those instructions, those messages which Krishna gave, he slowly got his composure back. He became peaceful, pacified, because he felt the presence of Krishna with him. By just remembering the instructions of Krishna. So same way, when we understand, when we read this message, when the kids read this message, as they grow up, ultimately, eventually, they will remember what they had learned in their childhood and they will be able to stay away from any wrong associations. So I again humbly request, please take to this message of Bhagavad Gita seriously. I know we all are coming regularly to the temple. But another important activity is to share the message with others so that others can also get benefit from this. Distribute the books. Encourage the kids to participate in this, in learning Bhagavad Gita, reading Bhagavad Gita to whatever extent they can. So I will stop here, looking at the time. I know everybody may be looking forward to the Sunday feast. I don't want to hold you for long. So thank you very much. Please forgive me if I spoke anything wrong. Again, as I said, I don't have any qualification to speak in front of you, but I'm just doing the service. So if anybody has any comments to add, anything to add or any questions, yes, Prabhu.
So you encourage everybody to distribute books. It's being set at the door when everybody leaves,
Sure, we should encourage everybody who is visiting the temple. At least we should encourage, if somebody is new, to get the copy of Bhagavad Gita. Is anybody new here first time?
My question is, Where do they go get that?
No, there is a book table here. We have a book stall in the hallway there. Not just Bhagavad Gita, there are a lot of other books also there. So people should definitely go to the book stall, look at the books, get a copy of Bhagavad Gita at least, and start reading. Come to the temple, Sunday feast every day. There will be other senior devotees who are speaking on the message of Bhagavad Gita. Where?
They can get a
they can get the box of book also, so that they can take for themselves and give to others also. Anybody would like to add anything? Any comments, questions? Yes, bro.
Thank you, Guru. I appreciate your point a lot about needing to understand Guru Kshetra Lila before possibly speak up. Thank you, Guru. My question was, if someone doesn't, it seems like the audience is receptive tonight, but see if people are appreciating the story, especially about the past and the nerve in the heart. But is there something we can say to someone if they don't think their heart is dirty?
So, the plain thing to start with, we have people may not accept the message as it is. Because when Krishna spoke this message of Bhagavad Gita, the cultural perspective was everybody has faith in yes, there is God, there is the existence of soul, there is a birth after life, right? Birth after death. So, all those principles were inbuilt that time. But now when we speak on this message, people have no faith. People don't believe there is God. People don't believe there is a soul. People don't believe there is a life after death. There is a rebirth. So we have to bring people sometime, slowly, slowly, a systematic way, giving those principles. So that at least they start understanding with some analogy, some correlation. Sometime people need maybe a shock treatment. Right? So some people may understand the message with plain example. Some people may understand the message with another shock therapy. So whatever it works with them, but we have to bring them systematically to that level where they start understanding the message or start acknowledging the importance of this message. So that's why generally devotees conduct many basic courses as a 7-session course. Who am I? Does God exist? If God does exist, who is really God? Why there is suffering in life? How to come out of the suffering of life and get real happiness? Why do bad things happen to good people or vice versa? So like that, that's why these kind of basic courses are designed. So people can get the basic understanding. And then they start acknowledging the importance of this whole philosophy and understand it. Does that answer your question? Any other question? Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you.